How many of you heard what Brad Bond said during the prophetic time? Everybody hear that? Okay, it's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. The picture of this little boy standing in front of a television in a world that pontificates every solution to every problem that they can think of but Jesus. And that was his frustration. And this passage is really, this passage is what he said. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And John is exposing false support systems that we have. We're going to talk about three false support systems or three pillars. And I'll use three P words to kind of describe things that we tend to lean on when things get tough. That's our fleshly response, things we turn to, false securities. And John, you know, I remind us, I always, when I approach the Gospel of John, I remember, you know, this man who's writing this in his 80s. He's seen Jerusalem destroyed. The temple no longer exists. There's a Jewish revolt that's been squelched. Nero is killing people for sport. John is probably in hiding in Ephesus. The life as he knew it no longer exists. And so when I approach this, I'm always thinking, John is trying to dispense or impart something to us. He wants us to be prepared. And we are a part of a culture in decline, rapidly moving away from Christ. I mean, we know this. We see it. In fact, Franz Schaka, I was reading his book. He said that the largest growing group in our national census now is called the nones. N-O-N-E-S. That's the box that's clicked when it says, what's your religion? Nothing. The nones. None of the above. Moving into a more and more secular age that is increasingly antagonistic towards our faith. And so John is laying this down to us and he's saying, man, when it gets tough, don't lean back on these pillars. Remember what Christ did in this passage. So let's jump right into our gospel reading this morning. John chapter 6. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw there had been only one boat there and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples. But the disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near to the place where he had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Now they are seeking Jesus, but why are they seeking Jesus? And Jesus is going to expose the why here. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? They knew that he didn't depart on the boat, right? Something, he had chosen to reveal the walking on the water to his disciples, but not to the crowd. So they were kind of astonished. He's here, but he wasn't there, and he didn't get in the boat, and something cool is going on. They know that. And let's look at Jesus' response for this first pillar, verses 26 and 27. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. The first pillar is the pillar of the physical or the material. Seeking Christ, they sought Christ because he fed them. We tend to rely on and obsess over material needs. Am I the only one? When things get tough, we tend to rely on and obsess over material needs. I was just thinking of Psalm 78, verse 25, that last verse that said, he gave them food enough. In fact, one of the Proverbs remind me, I might butcher this as I paraphrase it, Ben, it says, Lord, give me enough. Just enough, so don't give me too much that I might trust in my wealth. I might forget you is actually what it says, or too little that I might steal. He gives us food enough, but we know when things get tough, we have a tendency. I don't know about you, but it's just amazing when you look at politics and what do they say? What's the number one issue? The economy. Why? We can slaughter innocent children. We can oppress other nations.
in the name of our pragmatism, but our number one issue is the economy. Why? It's our love of money. It is the chief defining vice sin characteristic of this country, is our love for money. The greed, the love of money. And Father Terry used a phrase years ago that stuck with me. He called it bribery politics. And listen to people on both sides of the debate. One says, hey, I'll give you someone else's money. And the other says, I'll help you keep your money. It's both the appeal to the love of money. And so that's our tendency. And I don't know about yours, but it can be mine. If I have enough in the bank, I'm okay. I'm just being real here. And I've shared before, and one of the things that I deal with is seeing my childhood home sold. Kind of a fire sale before it foreclosed, and my parents divorced, and really there was nowhere for me to go. My dad moved in with his mom, and my mom moved across town, and I was at college. And I look back on that, and it exposes this tendency in me of placing my security in money. And that's okay, because you know what that does? It constantly brings me back to my source, Jesus. It's only Jesus. It's about Jesus. That need brings me back to Him. In fact, he said, labor for the food that endures to eternal life. Here's what he's talking about when he talks about labor, because they're not going to get it at first, and we'll see that with this next pillar that we all tend to lean on. What he's talking about labor is labor to trust Him. That's the labor that Jesus is describing here. Labor to trust Him. Listen to this next pillar as he moves on here. What, they ask the question, must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Labor to trust Him. And see, that knee-jerk, that second pillar that we all tend to lean on because it's our human nature, is the pillar of performance. Performance. How do we perform for your favor? We labor. It's the labor of performing for acceptance and love from God and others. Hear me. It's the labor of performing for acceptance and love from God and others. And that is a cruel taskmaster. It is a cruel taskmaster. And it's fickle. And it's fleeting. But we all tend to do it, especially when things get tough. I remember, it's clear as, I mean, just the memory, and I don't know the exact time or date, but I remember being a young person, and I could care less about attire, okay? And I had this older sister that started making fun of my tough skin jeans from Kmart and my Trex. And it was at that point that I thought I needed Nikes and Levi's. Why? That's a cruel taskmaster. No, it's Kmart back then, Gary, not Sears. Labor, it's a cruel taskmaster. And we do the same thing with God. We receive love if we've performed well. Right? There's a great Don Henley song that he says, you get the love that you allow. And there's truth there. But unfortunately, the love we allow, the love of the Father that we allow, oftentimes we anchor in our performance. I'll receive your mercy. I'll receive your love. I'll receive your affirmation because I had a pretty good day yesterday. Really? It's not he loves me, he loves me not. It's he loves me. That's settled. It's settled because of this. That's done. His fierce, I was thinking about his fierce love for us this morning. That fierce love that he has for us. He wants us to get it. He's committed to us getting it. In fact, he's committed to saying it over and over and over again because he knows we don't get it. That he flat out loves us. It isn't tied into what you do or don't do. I shared a story, and I'll probably share it over the next few decades, couple hundred more times because it's always going to stick with me. And this is a cancer survivor. He had survived leukemia. And I asked him, I said, what did you learn during that time in the hospital? He said, Carl, my eyes were so blurry I couldn't read. I couldn't read the scriptures. He said, my mind was so fogged from medication, I could not literally utter a prayer. You know what I learned? I learned to let God love me apart from anything that I could do. Take that one home. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and I to allow Him to love us apart from anything that we can do. Just fiercely in love with you. When you roll over in the morning and you hear that alarm clock, fiercely in love with you, pursuing you, wooing you, drawing you. Before you do anything, you just woke up. Learning to let Him love us apart from anything that we can do. The last pillar. This is verses 30 through 36. So they said to him, then what sign do you do so we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to Him, sir, give us this bread always. He's standing right in front of them, right? Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Do you hear Brad saying, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's all about Jesus? The third pillar that we tend to lean on is the pillar of the past. The pillar of the past. Living in the past, glorifying the past, making idols of past experiences, people, and places. That's what they're doing here. There's nothing wrong with remembering. In fact, Psalm 78 teaches us to remember. But why should we remember? That we may put our trust in Him. They're pointing to Moses. He says, don't you? Yeah, God used Moses, but He didn't feed you. Who gave you bread enough in that desert place? God did. Your Heavenly Father. God used it for your edification and your provision. We just tend to have this tendency of going back and glorifying the past. If it was like it used to be. You know what the truth is? What it used to be is rarely as good as we think it was. Right? What it used to be is rarely as good as we think it was. I remember as a kid going back to one of the houses I grew up in, and I thought this massive tree I used to climb, you know, when I got there, it was a bush. We tend to glorify the past. You know, one of the more profound events in our church, and it came from kind of an unlikely candidate that's in this room this morning. It was kind of a kicking over of the tables moment. And you'll see what I mean because this guy is so nice. Don't you love nice people? I've never been accused of that a lot. Dr. Tim Key stood up here with a Rubbermaid trash can next to him. And he asked a question out to our folks. He said, do you remember the times in the church across the park? Tell me all those wonderful things. And people begin to list, oh, we used to do this, we used to do this, we used to do this. And he's just meticulously writing. He takes that paper and he sets it on fire and throws it, almost melts a Rubbermaid trash can that was sitting right here. You know, what was his point? Yes, God uses certain people, places, and experience. Why? To prepare us for today. This moment, right now. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is the first of his seven I am statements. This is not... This made people mad, okay? Jesus offended people when he said this, I am. It's his claim to deity, the bread from heaven. labor to trust me. I wish I could be more profound. It's not complex. Jesus says, saying, eat the bread. This is not difficult. Feast on me in ways I have provided. Eat the bread. Feast on me in ways I have provided. Labor to learn to trust me. No athlete would try to dare train themselves apart from nutrition. And God has given us the nutrients. Christ has given us the bread. We'll receive it today in Holy Eucharist. We received it in worship. We're receiving it in the preaching of the word. We receive it through one another. Eat the bread. Quit leaning on past highlights and moments. Quit performing for favor and opinions of others. Quit leaning on physical and material things. I will give you food enough. Eat the bread. Labor to trust Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.